College football. It's just one of the things that makes this time of year fantastic. You're tuned in to Rosie on the House, where we're here to talk about your home, your house, your home, your castle, or your cabin. We've got Arthur, Greg, David, Brandon, and Glenn all on hold. You held through the top of the hour. I promise you, as soon as we got back in this hour, we'd get straight to the phone calls to thank you and reward you for holding, and we're going to. We're also talking about projects you need to get done in and about and around your house that date your home. We've talked about filling in that sunken living room last hour, as well as getting rid of those light coves, fluorescent light coves in your kitchen. Oh, nothing screams out of date, out of date, out of date more than those horrible fluorescent light coves. Some of the other things that I want to talk to you all about doing is, if your home was built in the 50s or 60s, you know, back then we did not do a lot of garages. There were a lot of carports. And in fact, we didn't even install deadbolts on exterior doors back in those days. You left everything out in the carport. Sometimes there was a little breezeway with a little tool shed attached to it. And all the doors in the house had one simple little privacy lock on the door. Didn't even deadbolt it. Well, a lot of those now are being converted to garages, and I want to talk a little bit about that, as well as filling in those horrible, uncomfortable, tile, boxy, cold, sunken atrium tubs. But I got to reward the people who've been on hold the longest. Let's get to them. Romy, let's bring in... Who are we going to bring in first here? Just go from who's been holding the longest. I think let's go to Brandon. There'll be David, Greg, and Arthur. Glenn follows that. Brandon, good morning. Hey, man. Thanks for being patient, buddy.
Hey, absolutely. Hey, I've got a home that was built in 1973,
okay.
Block home.
Okay.
And when they did the original insulation in the attic, They only put the blown-in insulation up to the top of the 2x4s.
Yeah.
And then they laid over a radiant barrier. Back then, I think the radiant barrier looked like butcher paper with some of the silver stuff on top.
Okay.
And then they laid, I would say, about 2-inch pieces of foam that were about 2 feet by about 3 feet, and just laid it across the top of the attic there,
okay.
The attic floor. So, of course, that was not doing the trick. So, we could feel the radiant heat coming in the home.
Okay.
So I went out and got some of that fiberglass that I think the attic cat, and blown in. It's probably about an R40 to R45, depending where it's at.
Okay.
And
Brandon, did you leave the insulation sandwich that was already in there, the blown in, the radiant barrier, and the rigid insulation? Did you just blow on top of that?
I blew on top of the radiant, and I blew on top of the blown in.
Okay.
And I took out, where I could reach it, I took out all of the
okay.
What is it? The styrofoam.
Okay.
Then blew on top of that.
Okay, all right. And
now
so
I have a Nest thermostat, and okay. I'm noticing that the house feels stuffy, and every time my air conditioner kicks on, my humidity level starts to go up.
Yeah. Brandon, have you had anyone out to do a whole house energy audit?
I knew you were going to ask that. No, I have not.
It costs $100. Brandon.
Yeah.
That's going to be the first place you're going to want to start, because then that's giving the house a full diagnostic analysis, and it really starts pinpointing. It's not the cure-all, but it's the starting point that we have some data that we can start looking at and saying, okay, what are we dealing with here? So get that whole house energy audit done. Let's get that report, and then let's go to work on solving what you're fighting.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, man, thanks for the call. Of course, in the Phoenix metro area, that's RIAS or Green ID are the two Rosie-certified whole house energy audit companies that have made their way through the Rosie certification. Romy, how about David in Mesa? Good morning,
hey,
David.
You?
Hey, man. Super fantastic. How about you? Who are you pulling for today?
You know, I'm just busy working, so.
You're just busy working. You're not a big college football fan?
Not a huge college football
okay.
fan. I know that's not going to go over well, but that's okay.
What you working on today, then?
So I've got a shower in the master bedroom side of the house that kind of spews air and water, and it's like as if it has water in the line, and it clears each day. And then it'll just run fine for the rest of the day, and then you let it sit overnight again. So I'm kind of thinking there's a leak in there somewhere, whether it be a cartridge or somewhere along the line. And it's only about an 8-year-old house.
And
I'm trying to figure that out. And I've kind of bled the lines, done that kind of thing, but I haven't been successful in getting it completely out of there.
David, is it only occurring in that one shower?
It happens in that whole master bath area.
The lavatory faucets. How about when you flush the toilet? Does it spit air filling the toilet
no.
up?
No, and mostly, and it doesn't show it at the faucets either. It seems mostly at the shower head.
Okay, what I'd ask you to do is let's just take the shower head off.
Okay.
Okay, and let's just shower under a plume of straight water out of the 1/2-inch. Stem that comes out of the wall. Do that for a day or two and see if it's spitting at that point. It very well may just be the water reducing filter behind the shower head.
Okay.
Okay.
Would that change over time as far as, because like when we first moved into that home, we never really had that challenge. And I think when I started seeing this happening was we changed a couple of elements on the hot water heater
water
on
heater.
That side of the house.
Yeah.
As well as the dip tube. And we also have a recirculating pump on that. So,
well,
sure.
You could have some air introduced into the hot water loop by replacing elements and the anode rod for sure. But how long ago did you do that?
Oh, that was a long time ago. Yeah, and this is continuing to take place. So,
okay, and if it's just occurring in that one device, I'm immediately suspicious. It's something about that one device. So let's just take that shower head off.
Okay.
Shower a couple days without it, put it back on, and while you're showering without it, you know, it's just going to be like this huge gush of water. but take note as to whether it's spitting at all. And if it's not, then we may just have to go out and pick up another shower head and see if that solves it.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay, man.
Hey, appreciate it. Have a good day.
All right, Dave. We're doing really good. We appreciate the call. Glad we were able to help. Keep us posted. Let us know if that worked or not.
That's exactly what I was going to say. We love the follow-up.
Yes.
Love the follow-up. Because that'd be a great FAQ we could turn it into. If it was a showerhead, great. If he had to replace the cartridge, well, you know, it'll just help the next person look with that same situation.
That's what we do at Rosie on the House. We take all of these dilemmas and problems, and even the ones we don't have the answers for, we like to spend the following week researching them. And then we try and get all those answers posted to our website, rosieonthehouse.com. So it can be the most complete place any Arizona homeowner can go to find answers for whatever it is they're trying to tackle around the house, home, castle, or cabin. All right, we've still got Arthur and Greg and Glenn with an open line for you. If you'd like to get in, the number's 1-888-767-4348. Arthur, good morning.
Good morning.
What you up to today?
Well, let's see. We're in a house that's about 11 years old. We bought it 7 years ago, and about 6 years ago, we put in patios and walls and all that kind of stuff. And my main concern is my front wall. You know, it's about a 4-foot wall with a cap on top, and it's showing a crack. And the crack looks like the crack is between the blocks coming up and all the way into the cap. And it's on both sides of the wall. I was wondering if there's some way I could cover that up without, you know, I know I can cover the crack up with paint, but is there something I can do to, you know, chip out the crack and put some kind of an epoxy in and paint over it?
Well, tell me this, Arthur. Is the crack as wide as a pencil lead, or it is as wide as a pencil?
It's neither. Well, probably as thin as a mechanical pencil lead.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so that's just a little shrinkage crack. Okay, and this crack is through stucco, right? So it's like a skip trowel texture.
Right.
Okay. Well, the way we generally recommend folks repairing those smaller cracks is just get a good elastomeric caulk, and you can actually get it textured with sand in it. And what I do is I take an air compressor or you know, one of these electronic compressed airs that you spray your keyboard with if you don't have an air compressor, and just spray that crack out real good to get all the loose, fine dust and sediment and sand particles out of it. And then I take the textured elastomeric caulk, and I put it on the crack. Then I take my finger and I rub it down, and then I take a damp sponge and I damp off all the rest of it, and I rub it perpendicular to the crack, so you're feathering in all the elastomeric and you're keeping it from where it's going to flash at you after you finish repairing it. And the reason I like textured is because it also reduces the need for flash. Sometimes if it's a very heavy stucco, I actually take a little bag of silicone sand and I rub the silica sand into the caulk to camouflage it even more. Let that dry real good and paint it. As long as that cracking is only as the width of a mechanical pin lead, you don't have anything structural going on. You ought to be able to solve it with simple textured elastomeric caulk and paint.
The paint's not elastomeric for the whole wall system, just the crack repair. We're not a big fan of these elastomeric full wall systems. That's a conversation for another time, but just to make sure there was no confusion there. Greg's on the line, and Glenn, and an open line for you at 1-888-767-4348.